Well, it's lovely. What a beautiful morning, and what a beautiful group of people you are. So it's lovely that we can worship God together this morning on the fifth Sunday after Trinity. I hope you've got sight of an order of service. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and
And
also
also
with
with
you.
you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and
And
be
be glad
glad in
in
it.
it.
Heavenly
Heavenly Father,
Father, Heavenly
Heavenly
King,
King, we
we
come
come before
before
you
you
today
today
just
just
as
as we
we
are.
are. We
We
come
come
to
to
listen
listen
and
and
to
to learn.
learn. We
We
come
come
and
and
lay
lay
everything
everything
down
down
to
to
stand
stand
in
in
your
your
awesome
awesome
presence.
presence.
Amen.
Amen.
Loving God, all sufficient one, we acknowledge your presence and we worship you. We
We
adore
adore you,
you, Lord of
Lord
all. We worship you, Lord Jesus Christ, holy and anointed one. You laid your life down that we might live. We
of all.
adore
We adore
you,
you,
Lord
Lord
of
of
all.
all.
We welcome your authority and influence in our lives, Holy Spirit. You intercede for us when we have no strength. You are with us and guide us in our weakness. We
We
adore
adore you,
you, Lord
Lord
of
of
all.
all.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are worthy of all our praise. We adore you, Lord of all. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
And the first reading is from Colossians 1, starting at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 15. We'll begin by saying the refrain together. Through the greatness of your mercy, I will come into your house. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may rest upon your holy hill, whoever leads an uncorrupt life and does the thing that is right, who speaks the truth from the heart and bears no deceit on the tongue, who does no evil to a friend and pours no scorn on a neighbour, in whose sight the wicked are not esteemed, but who honours those who fear the Lord, whoever has sworn to a neighbour and never goes back on that word, who does not lend money in hope of gain, nor take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never fall. Through the greatness of your mercy, I will come into your house. Lord, lead us to our heavenly home by single steps of self-restraint and deeds of righteousness. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And our gospel reading is from Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So, when you read the story of Mary and Martha, where do you imagine you are sitting in that story? Are you sitting at the kitchen table preparing yet more food? Or are you a guest sitting or reclining, waiting to be served? Or are you, like Mary, sitting at Jesus's feet? You see, where you sit is important. In December 1955, a woman called Rosa Parks was sitting on a bus on her way home from work. She lived in the city of Montgomery, Alabama, where there were strict laws of racial segregation, and Rosa was sitting in the designated colored section. The bus filled up with people, and when the whites only area became full, the bus driver told Rosa and some others to stand up so that the white passengers could sit down. Rosa refused. Her defiant action was to prove a key moment in the civil rights movement. You see, it does matter where you sit. And in a segregated world, where you sit or continue to sit can herald a new order. In the ancient world of Jesus's time, segregation was part of life. There was a strong divide between public and private life. Within the household, there were distinct divides. Your average house was built around a central courtyard, which was open to the street and people could just walk in. But this area wasn't open to anyone. This was an area for the men of the household and their guests. Unlike our houses, where we are free to move from room to room, there were separate areas for women and slaves. Men and women had distinct roles within the household. Women and slaves were expected to remain hidden, away from view. Women, whether slaves or free, were associated with serving. Men expected to be served, and some still do. It is against this background of cultural segregation that we read this story of Mary and Martha. When Jesus visited the home of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, he would have been in the public part of the house where guests would be welcomed and received. He is there at Martha's invitation. Verse 38 tells us that a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And yet, even though it is Martha's invitation and welcome, once Jesus had arrived, she immediately withdraws and busies herself in the kitchen. Well, turn the clock forward 2,000 years, and that could be me. I love having people round. I love getting together with my family and friends. I love cooking and eating with people. It gives me real joy. But how easy it is to miss out on being with people, hearing important snippets of conversation, laughing at the children's antics because I'm so busy whipping up a hollandaise or checking that the souffle hasn't collapsed or flambeing something either intentionally or unintentionally in the kitchen. I know what it is to be Martha. In Luke's narrative, he records that Martha had withdrawn from the party and is frantically engaging in acts of service, providing for all her guests' needs. In contrast, Mary is not doing any of it. She is not helping Martha in any way whatsoever. How profoundly irritating that must have been for Martha. No wonder she exploded. Not only was Mary offering no help at all, but she was also defying every single cultural tradition by sitting at Jesus' feet in public. Completely shocking. I suspect that Martha was not only deeply irritated by Mary's behaviour, but she probably felt deeply uncomfortable as well. This was not what was meant to happen. It was embarrassing. With a male guest in the house, Mary should have been in the hidden parts of the house, in the kitchen. Her rightful place was with Martha. I can imagine Martha bursting into the courtyard, bristling with anger and indignation, and saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." So what is Jesus' response to Martha's indignation? As we should expect, Jesus turns everything upside down. Firstly, it seems to me that Jesus doesn't see it as his inherent male right to be served. Instead, he notices and recognizes Martha's distress. So often in the Gospels, Jesus tells his male disciples that they don't serve each other enough. They need to be more servant-hearted. But with Martha, it's different. Jesus can see that Martha is overburdened and overwhelmed by juggling too many acts of service. There are many, many people I know in all our churches who are frantically serving in numerous ways. It's exhausting. There are times when we need to put down some of the things we do so that we are not overloaded, so that we have space and time. And then Jesus affirms Mary. She is to stay where she is, at his feet, listening to Jesus. In other words, Mary is not to be hidden. She is not to be segregated. But she is to stay openly, unashamedly, and publicly in the men-only part of the house. Mary, Jesus says, has made the correct decision, the right choice. Of course, this story also teaches us something of what the church is supposed to be like. If you remember, the early church met in believers' homes, just like Mary and Martha's. When people met together, they met in the central courtyard, the central public place. And what was completely revolutionary about it was that everyone in the early church was welcomed to gather together, men and women, Jew and Gentile, slaves and free. Everybody was welcome. No one was excluded. The world wants to keep us divided. It wants disunity. God's love, his generous, wonderful, unconditional love is for everyone. It is fully inclusive. No one is outside God's love. No one should be excluded on the grounds of race, class, or gender, because in Christ Jesus, God has reconciled all things to himself. Traditional divides are overturned. No one group should be invisible or exist exclusively to serve others. We are all to serve each other because we all belong to one another. The story of Mary and Martha reminds us that being a follower of Jesus Christ is not a personal, private thing that can be hidden away. It must be lived out in the context of our lives. The inclusive nature of God's love is a public matter, and we need to shout about it, to proclaim it. We need to make it visible. The world is full of divides, but we have a gospel to proclaim. We have good news. To do so, we need to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. We need to recognize the fears and the prejudices we all carry in our own hearts and confess them to Jesus. And as we sit listening at his feet, Jesus will teach us and show us new ways to live. And like Rosa Parks and like Mary, we need to find the resolve to keep sitting there, no matter what, refusing to move away. Amen.
In this moment, Lord, we bring our prayers and our concerns for others. The world seems so full of problems, way beyond our imagining and understanding. Emergencies seem to be almost daily, and we move from one to another so quickly. We bring our prayers, knowing that even if we fail to listen to you, you always listen to us. You listen to our words, our silences, our yearnings, and our longing. Lord, hear us. For those in crisis this day, we pray that someone will listen to them. For those in poverty and destitution, we pray that someone will give them a gift. For those in pain and anguish, we pray that someone will offer relief. And we pray for those known to us who are unwell, especially Jack, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, and Helen. Lord, hear us. For those who are hungry, we pray that someone will feed them. For those who are thirsty, we pray they may be given clean water. For those in grief, we pray that someone will simply be with them. Lord, hear us. For those who are near the end of life, we pray that someone will hold their hand. And for the family and friends of those who have recently died, Angela Burrows, Leonard Reed, Stephen Troke. For those who are lonely, We pray they may be befriended. For those who are frightened, we pray they may be soothed and calmed. Lord, hear us. Lord, there are so many needs of so many people in so many places. We remember now. Those seeking to rule our country, may they do so with justice, honesty, and compassion, seeking an agenda for all and not just for themselves. May those who wish to lead listen to the needs and voices around them. Lord, hear us. Those in Ukraine facing uncertain futures, with war seeming to be an ongoing crisis they are living through, and for those who have left family and friends behind and moved to neighbouring countries, including our own, may we, with others, listen to their stories and their anguish. Lord, hear us. For the people of Sri Lanka, where seemingly the cost of living is daily forcing thousands into poverty, way beyond our understanding. For the people of Afghan, whose freedoms and life choices are being daily eroded by a government who fails to listen to the voices of the world. Lord, hear us. For those who fear the impacts of climate change, who are challenged by excessive heat and flood. For those in our own country who are hungry this day, may they find the kindness and support of neighbours and strangers, of food banks and more, to feed not just their bodies, but their minds and their souls. Lord, hear us. For refugees risking all they have left, life and limb, to escape a country which is safer, more secure and more welcoming. For those seeking purpose and point in life, may someone listen to them and bring them to you. For those in dark places, may they see light and hear words of comfort and welcome and hospitality. Lord, these are our prayers this day. We offer them and ourselves, knowing you hear our every word. Lord, hear us and bless those for whom we pray. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name. Through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join together now as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much for your company this morning. Thank you, Dawn, for helping me lead the service. Just a quick reminder that the coffee morning, and I'm sorry about last week, we had all sorts of confusion last week, the coffee morning being one of many. but hopefully we'll be Zooming on Wednesday if you'd like to join us. And the following Monday, if anybody would like to come up to the rectory for afternoon tea, bring a friend if you would like. You are all very welcome. Wherever you happen to worship, you'd be very welcome to come and join us on the 25th of July at between 2 and 4:30. If you could just let the office know. I know that's easier said than done, but hopefully by the end of today, we should have a phone line. But anyway, you're all very welcome. Have a great day and hope to see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.